Hello, everyone, and welcome back to another episode of Rolled Realms the Frontier. I'm your Dungeon Master, Piper, and unlike always, we're joined by only one Ellison agent this week. This week, we're going to be focusing on Roslyn in the aftermath of being pushed through the Celestial Rift by the Amethyst Amalgamation as it came into being through the door that Edward Vanson opened, triggering the apocalypse once again. Roslyn, you are falling through a rift in space. A kaleidoscope of amethyst shimmers around you. And then you're on the other end of this rift and unceremoniously dumped onto a hard, sticky ground. Shaking your head and looking around, it's a vague memory. You have to kind of reach back a little bit to realize where you are, but you're in the Oasis, the bar at the bottom of the Artificers Guild structures built into the side of Iron Canyon. It's quiet for a moment, and then you do hear rocks crumbling and shaking, and looking out the enormous curved windows of this bar, you can see into the canyon giant amethyst shards slamming into the sides of the canyon, erupting, rock and rubble falling. It doesn't seem to have hit the Artificers Guild quite yet. Around you, members of the Artificers Guild are watching, some with like drinks still in hand in horror at the sight outside. As these enormous shards of basically shattered sky fall outside, a voice next to you just goes, "Oh, Roslyn, what's going on?" Turning, you see Adelia with David and Navid in a like booth at this bar, sharing what appears to be like a bright fruity cocktail for Adelia, and then two glasses of what appear to just be like motor oil for the automatons, David and Navid.
Of course.
And they are just kind of watching. Mostly just confused, less horror than the other patrons, not comprehending what's happening.
Adelia. Oh my God.
Roslyn, did you just fall through some sort of wormhole or space-time rift of some kind?
I guess. I
That is fascinating. I have no idea. I'm going to have to take some notes on that. Do you mind being interviewed about that? I think it'll...
I don't think we have time. I'll be honest, I don't think we have time.
Why not? I don't know really what's going on out there, but surely...
No, we really don't. I'm so sorry.
It's okay. What's happening?
Long story short, the artifacts that we were collecting...
Right,
They were pieces of something else, something bigger.
I knew it! I did a lot of research into that, and I knew that they were pieces of something bigger,
They were pieces of a key.
Oh, interesting. I guess that makes sense with the shapes, but...
Yeah, and Vanson used the key. You know Edward Vanson? Railroad?
Her face sinks as you say this.
Yeah, so he took the key. And he opened a door, and, well, I think you can maybe guess who came out based on the colors.
She looks outside again and kind of registers the amethyst color of these crystal shards raining down. A hand goes to her mouth, and she is shaking. And she just goes,
Roslyn, this is all my fault.
What are you talking about?
I was just really excited about the discovery, about what it would mean for the frontier.
She like tries to collect herself. She gives a racking, heaving sob.
Hey. And Roslyn puts her hands on Adelia's face on either side of her face.
already reddening eyes look at you, tears streaking down her cheeks as she just goes, he was just, we've partnered on past experiments and, you know, the guild partnered with him to build, you know, the railway engines, and he was just so excited about the discovery. He was the only person who seemed to understand how meaningful this sort of thing could be.
Of course he was.
Rosalyn, I told him all about them.
Oh.
He knew where they were. He knew what they could do because of me.
Oh, I mean, Adelia, that's not your fault. If it's anyone's fault, it's mine. He needed all of the pieces to put them together, and I left one lying very much out in the open for him. So, I mean, it's not your fault.
But would he even have known where to look if not for... if not for what I told him, Rosalind?
He would have figured it out. He's very manipulative. I mean, he has my mother and my brother as part of his cult. He would have found out. There were so many people there. There were so many people who were part of his crowd, his gathering. I was shocked. So many more people than I expected.
As you say that, behind you there is a crackling, a shifting of a hard crystal substance against metal. And turning to that center column of the Oasis bar, you see that bartender that, frankly, you hated the first time you saw it because it could fully swivel 180 and kind of bounce back and forth as if on a spring. Mm-hmm. You see it twitching and shifting because in its tip jar, there is a amethyst crystal that is leeching out tendrils, rock solid, but moving fluidly, if erratically. And they wrap around the bartender's hand, and you see it start to change, shift, crack into one of those crystal constructs that you saw before you were pushed through the rift. Whatever this is, whatever the amethyst amalgamation is doing, it is spreading. And you see the bartender grab onto a patron sitting at the bar, sink crystalline talons now into the patron's arm, and the same thing happens. It takes over the body. Screams erupt around you at this sight as people begin to try and flee upstairs to the elevators. You, Adelia, David, and Navid look up and see this panic around you. You see the shards spreading. Bam! One of those massive shards from outside, one of those enormous amethyst crystals, crashes through the windows. The entire structure seems to creak and groan at the sudden additional weight. And Adelia looks and just goes, My private laboratory is more secure. If we can get up there, we'll be okay for now, but we have to go. We have to go right now.
Let's go.
Adelia stands up swiftly, grabs her jacket off the bench, grabs your hand with her other hand. Make sure you stay with her as you move through this panicked crowd. All around you, that cracking and creaking of amethyst is around you. And as you pass through them towards the elevators, you begin to take in these constructs a little bit more. They're not just like as if the people were replaced with amethyst. They are these stocky crystalline forms, still with, you know, two arms, two legs where appropriate, but they're jerky. They don't move quite right. They move impossibly fast for how wrong they seem to move. And they move as a pack. As each individual is infected, it's as if it was brought online.
Oh.
And as each individual was infected, it joins the group. And the infection spreads with greater efficiency with every additional unit that's been turned on. Racing through the crowd, you are moving between tables. Adelia is like pushing them out of the way, trying to impede the movement of these other crystalline constructs. The elevator is in front of you as you are just pounding feet into the carpet to get across. Next to you, you see Russell, the Kenku bard who you met at first, who just is backed up in a corner with one of these constructs reaching towards him. He squawks out a cry for help, The amethyst clamps down around his beak and it just spreads from his face down, tendrils injecting under his feathered skin. And he's gone.
Gross.
Bam. You hit the elevator. Adelia is slamming on the button, trying to call it. There are other panicked people, some of whom are taking like the emergency stairs up and out. It is a mad panic, and you can feel walls of flesh pushing around you. And then, ding, elevator opens. The four of you slide in, doors close, and you're up.
Is there some jaunty elevator music playing in the background?
Absolutely. You know, there's just a little da 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 da, which I think really just highlights. You know how people say that, like, to have the highest highs, you have to have the lowest lows and vice versa?
Yeah.
It's very much that feeling as you're listening to this just kind of cheerful elevator tune, having just run through a room full of screaming people who are slowly being transformed into crystal monsters.
Yeah, I'm feeling like a Scooby-Doo kind of vibe.
Can you expand on that?
Yeah, so you know, like when they have one of their sequences where they're running through hallways and like in and out of doors or stuff, or like up or down stairs, and they're trying to get away from the monster. And then there's just like inexplicably a scene where like it's like the monster and Daphne or Velma, and they're just kind of chilling in the same space for a second, and maybe they're drinking tea. And they have like a moment like that before they go, oh my God, and then keep going with the whole thing. That's sort of like how I'm imagining this feels right now.
Absolutely. As you pass each floor going up, the doors don't open, but you can hear like fists pounding on the other side and the slamming of crystal structures into the doors. You turn and you can see Adelia has like messed with the control panel a little bit, and there are still tears racing down her face. And she just looks at you and just goes, we can't stop. We can't. If we're going to make it, we have to just go.
Okay.
With a ding, the doors open up on a much higher floor. And if you recall, Iron Canyon had like a bunch of those hallways that were glass. You could see through it throughout the structure. It is. Carnage isn't quite the right word, because when the crystalline constructs are attacking, they don't maul, they don't claw, they don't draw blood. They are simply absorbing. And you can see all throughout Iron Canyon as this spreads, and that pack tactic, that like efficiency I mentioned earlier, you see on full display. And you see Adelia makes a face as she watches this, and she delays in the elevator for a sec.
Don't we have to go?
What? Right. Yes. Yes, absolutely. We need to go. We need to go right now. Something slams down and lands on top of the elevator car. A jagged spear of amethyst is jammed through where the emergency hatch in the top of the elevator is, trying to pry it open.
Oh my God. Now, now, now. And Rosalind grabs Adelia's hand and she's running.
You pull her out right as one of those constructs drops through the ceiling, crushing exactly where she would have been had you not pulled her out, and you are running. The creature is following, gaining on you as it's hunched down on all fours. The sound of the crystal structure of its body slamming into the glass creates this eerie pinging noise as it moves with impossible speed, given its just stilted motions. David and Navid look at each other and nod and just go,
"Units Roslyn, units Adelia. Continue."
And they stop.
Thank you, guys. And Rosalind's not hesitating. She's continuing to go.
Adelia's
this is not Talon.
Way. Head down.
He's not going to stop.
Absolutely. You hear fighting echoing behind you. Whatever is happening, you have rounded a corner. You can't see them anymore. But it is not the terrified takeover that you saw in the bar. They are fighting. And they are buying you time. And that time is so valuable. You pass through an X intersection, and moments later, a horde of those creatures come slamming from either side. A millisecond more, and you would have been caught in their rush. They are hot on your heels, but you can see ahead of you Adelia's private laboratory, where you met so long ago. I mean, that was, what, 6 months ago? If not more, that you met each other. I know, like 2 years in real life.
I'm like, ooh, but only 6 months? That's not anything.
She frantically types in a code. You both slide in as the door unseals. She slams it behind her right as those contracts, boom, right against it. And then it's the two of you. Alone in this office, the banging of the crystal constructs outside. You can see through reinforced windows, other hordes of them moving throughout the structure.
Rosalind grips Adelia so tight. And she's not even speaking. She's like shaking. She's crying. And she's holding on for dear life.
Okay. Okay. Well, we'll figure this out. There has to be... You can tell Adelia is still getting used to the idea of physical comfort, physical contact, but she sees you. She genuinely sees where you're at, just one look, and she holds you close. And she just holds you for a moment.
I don't know how we're going to do this.
She looks down at you and pats your head and just goes, "We're..." She, like... is thinking of what to say in this moment. She wipes tears from her face and just goes, "We're going to do this together. That's how we're going to do this. Okay?
Okay.
We have each other.
Okay.
And we have my lab. And I can assure you this is the most reinforced son of a bitch in Iron Canyon. So that's a good sign.
Yeah.
I think I have some ramen packets for food, though that might be a bigger concern for us if we're thinking long term.
Okay.
Oh,
I mean, if we're thinking long term, I have, what the fuck is it even called? Goodberry.
Oh my god, that would have been so useful for so many nights. Right. Right, so.
How many nights have you spent in this lab?
Most of them. And she looks around, and you look around, and you see, like, it is a mess in here. It's always a mess in Adelia's labs. But you also see that more than previously, it's less, like, random projects and, like, blueprints scattered. And it's a very deliberate, you can just see security structures, weapons, things like that. Mm-hmm. And you realize she was building an arsenal for the Ellison Agency, essentially. She was building... You know, she was building a security system to make sure that the artifacts were safe. And I think looking at that, you don't even need to roll an insight. You recognize that that just makes it sting so much more for Adelia.
Yeah.
That she was doing so much to try and protect these artifacts. And it turns out it was to her. She feels that she is the one who let slip what they were to the big bad, essentially.
Yeah.
Once again, she wipes tears from her eyes and kind of pats you, just kind of twice on the back, kind of saying, like, okay, like, can we, like, breathe for a moment? She separates from you.
Yeah.
She straightens her, you know, fancy vest. She reaches for her goggles, and you realize that's an impulse thing, because she gave those to you before you separated, back in the laboratory, back in the Ellison Agency secret lab.
Mm-hmm.
And she kind of smiles and just goes, I guess you have those now. Right.
Did you like them?
No, you hold on to them.
Okay.
You notice she kind of looks away and shrugs. And she lingers. And she keeps lingering. And following her eyes, you see that she's looking through one of those windows just at these kind of hordes moving through the tunnels. Huh. That's peculiar.
What?
Well, just... Not to be callous on what has to be probably the worst day of your life, and frankly, a pretty horrifying one for me as well, but watch them. This is going to sound really fucked up, but bear with me. Look at how they attack.
Okay.
Just tamp down that human instinct, or half-elf instinct, to
there's some human in that react. Half-elf.
Oh, all right, there we go.
That's half.
That half-human element of nausea at seeing someone absorbed into this thing, but...
Yeah.
They're not just skilled. They're not just trained. They're perfect. These constructs are... How do I explain this? It's, if you have a very good military,
or a very good agency. Okay. You know, you and Mordai and Talon and Blaze, you might be very in sync. You might be able to get a ton done in 6 seconds or so. That's, you know, relatively coordinated or building off each other's abilities, but it's still with error. It's still with judgment calls and with trying to read each other.
Yeah.
That's not what's happening here. They're just in sync perfectly. They're not... Rosalind, they're not individuals anymore.
They're the same.
They're a hive mind. They're connected. They're working together because they are linked together.
It's like the Borg.
I don't know what that is. Is that from a book?
Oh, you know, there's this series of plays that Blaze is always trying to get me to read. it's very weird. It's about, I guess, like the celestial plane, maybe. It's really bizarre.
Oh, celestial plane, that might do us well now, given the amethyst amalgamation seems to be here, just fucking things up, but...
Yeah. I mean, we could, I didn't even think of this. We could go to the astral plane for a bit if things get too crazy here.
That could be a good escape cord, but...
I mean, last resort, obviously, but it's there.
When the amalgamation came to this plane, did you see where it came from, where he came from?
Oh, gosh, if I had to guess... I mean, it was another plane. Maybe it was celestial. It kind of looked like a city, maybe. Maybe everything was burning, though. Everything was falling apart.
You see Adelia's just kind of muttering under her breath as you talk, like basically in real time analyzing what you have to say. Yeah. And she just goes, "We may want to avoid the astral plane then, because if the amalgamation has taken over the celestial plane and has basically infected our plane, there's no guarantee that the ethereal plane is safe from that infection, that the amalgamation hasn't already been there, if that makes sense. It's a very good pocket dimension for popping in and out of, essentially."
That's fair. It reminds me of this story that my mother used to tell me as a child. You know, about what was it called? Like wrinkles in outer space and clocks? I don't know. Wrinkle in time, space. I don't know. Something strange about that, though.
A wrinkle in space. Huh. You see her, like, suddenly, like, it's, I think you've gotten used to this, knowing Adelia for a little bit now, that she sometimes gets lost in her own little world and will, like, solely focus in on that. And she is hearing you, and I think that you know that she is hearing you.
Yes.
But her attention is split, and she is rummaging through papers, and she grabs a clean one and starts drawing on. She just goes, "Wrinkles in space, threads in space. Rosalind, this is hive mind. That's...
Yes.
If they're a hive mind, then they have to be connected by something. And given what you told me, that the amalgamation came through a portal from the celestial plane, most likely, then they're probably linked by a frequency of celestial magic. That they have to be linked by something. It's not just innate. There has to be something connecting them, a thread in space, something that ties them together. And if it's a
thread in space...
And if it's... If it's a resonance, if it's a frequency resonating through their crystalline structures, like we know, like crystals can resonate like that.
Right,
that
they can
amplify and connect like that. Mm-hmm. If we can disrupt the frequency, it may not cure them, but it'll scramble them. It'll disorient them at the very least, if not completely cut them off from the hive mind and leave them individuals, which we can't comprehend it as individual identities. Right. But for a hive mind to be separated from that when that's all you know, is it would be devastating.
Oh my gosh. Well, how do we figure out what frequency they're resonating on?
tests. We do tests, Rosalind. Oh, we get to do tests in the apocalypse. All right.
Okay. What's our science standard variable?
Science still has our backs, Rosalind, and we can use that. We just...
Yeah.
All right. We'll do as much preparation as we can in here, but we are going to have to open those doors at some point and...
Right, yeah.
If we can trap one of them or separate one of them somehow, I don't... Rosalind, do you think... Do you have a way that you could maybe... If I could get one separated, could you trap it? Could you hold it in place?
Hold it in place. I have maybe like a couple things that I might be able to do. I could make plants grow around it, maybe. Do we have any like organic matter in the lab that can of a floral nature?
Yes, I think that to celebrate me becoming head artificer, I was given a, what was it called? A succulent.
Is it alive?
Is this alive? You see her like rummage behind a pile of things that hold up a barely alive aloe plant that's like drooping and gray and brown. There's like one little sprig of green on it. But overall, this thing is, it is hard to kill an aloe plant. And this thing is on the verge. Yes. Okay. Here you go. I'm glad to hear. I've never been able to keep a plant alive before. I'm much better with machinery.
I gathered that. That's okay. we could work on that.
Oh, okay.
If the apocalypse, you know, is bypassed and all that, we can work on it.
I would like that.
Nature is kind of my thing.
Well, between the two of us, we've got the whole gambit run, as it were.
Yeah.
But, yes, the core of Iron Canyon is shielded in a way to prevent, you know, any reactivity from the inside getting out, any interference from the outside getting in and affecting our power source. If we can get down there, if we can lure one of them with us, we can seal the door, shut them off. If you can hold on to that aloe plant, I'll gather...
Oh, wait, I'm dumb. I also have my cosmic aloe with me. And I pull an aloe out of my pocket that's like significantly more alive than the one that she's been handing me.
Okay, well, nobody likes a show off, but...
I'll take yours, though. This one has like healing properties. Yours is alive.
Yes, right. Don't want to waste the healing properties to save everybody, but okay.
I have this perfectly alive one right next to it.
Oh, you are beautiful. You also have a cloak of thorns, which we could have used, I guess. I don't know how both of us missed that, but...
Sorry, can you repeat that?
That you have a cloak of thorns we could have used?
No, before that.
Nobody likes a show off?
Nah, after that.
You're beautiful. She touches your face and smiles.
Roslyn is grinning at her. You are too. And she leans forward and bonks their heads together.
Right, okay. Let me just, you see her gather up some like gear and equipment and things. You see her look at it looks like a backpack, like a camping backpack almost.
Okay.
She swings it over her shoulder, just goes, just in case, could be useful. All right. Do you need anything else?
Oh, just one more thing. And Roslyn leans forward and kisses her really quick.
Red blush spreads on her face, but she kisses back. You can just feel her like smiling into the kiss almost as she just holds you close. The aloe plant weirdly wedged between your two bodies.
Oh, God.
and it's after so long. Is this your first kiss with Adelia?
I think so.
Absolutely. After so long after dating and going on these adventures and struggles, this first kiss, you can feel sparks around you, essentially, and not just because there's a lot of discarded electronics around you that are actively sparking.
Sparking, yeah.
and as you pull away, she just looks at you, glazed over expression, just goes, oh, wow. Okay.
You ready?
Yes, I... Strains her little bolo tie, strains out her vest. Yes, let's...
Rosalind, like, holds her hand out, waiting for Adelia to take it.
Adelia grabs on and holds you tight.
Let's go.
Alrighty.
Bam! Another slam against the door, and you hear it creak slightly, and she just goes, probably shouldn't go out that way.
Yeah, yep, you're right.
That's okay. I planned ahead. How do you feel about slides?
Roslyn looks so incredibly excited, like she can't even talk.
That seems to be a yes, yes? Thumbs up. Excellent.
Two big thumbs up.
Fantastic. No, I really wanted to check because it's important that we communicate about things. Mm-hmm. I just want to spring this on you, but also, will you please stand? Slide. Do you see that that kind of one floor tile that's a little bit darker than the others?
Oh my god. Secret slide.
Secret slide.
Slide.
You both step Secret on it. Slide. You see her grab a like book off a shelf right next to it, pull it, and it is like a secret lever. Floor drops out beneath you, and you two are plummeting through darkness. Hey, folks, Piper, your DM here, just cutting in real quick with a reminder that we are coming up on the finale of Rolled Realms The Frontier. But don't worry, just because it's the end of The Frontier doesn't mean it's the end of Rolled Realms in its entirety. We have a lot of really exciting projects coming up that we can't wait to share with you, as well as a mailbag episode after the finale airs. If you're interested in having a question answered or want to ask us anything really weird and out there, feel free to reach out at rolledrealms@gmail.com. Once again, that's rolledrealms@gmail.com with your questions, and we're happy to answer them. I hope you all have a great rest of your day, and enjoy the rest of the episode. Streaks of light pass you, getting faster and faster as you're on basically just this giant curly slide with just a few windows. You can tell, yeah. You don't know how long it took Adelia to build this, but this is like a secret slide built through the center of Iron Canyon.
This is amazing, and I love it.
You know, as you descend, you're picking up speed, and then you slowly slow down as you reach the end, and it shallows out. It's not a harsh drop like when you fell out of the portal. It is simply a landing. And after a moment, Adelia lands next to you, kind of pressing into your back. She just goes, you know, I probably could have done without as many swirls, but they're just more fun, and I never really anticipated actually using this for an emergency. So here we are. Love a good slide.
Want to
go help me with the whole apocalypse thing?
Yeah.
Cool. Righty-o.
Good slide. Love a good scientist. Let's go.
That burning red blush is on her face again. And like, if this was a cartoon, you could see steam coming out of her ears as you say that. And she just goes, yes, I am absolutely treating you to dinner when all this is over. Been too long since we've been on a proper date, so looking forward to it.
You mean an interview?
No, I don't. Once again, Adelia takes your hand as you stand up from the bottom of the slide, and y'all are racing through a dark tunnel. There's kind of glowing emergency lights that glow a neon blue, guiding you. This is clearly some internal structure. And you can hear Adelia as you're running, muttering under her breath, like, right, left, straight, right, left. Avoiding any branching tunnels as she guides you through this maze of internal functions of Iron Canyon.
Finally, Rachel would like to say that is so cute and dorky. Anyway.
Finally, she gets to a hatch and just puts her ear up to it for a second, just goes, okay, so out this hatch to the right, about 15 or so meters, that's where the core entrance is. So there's going to be a little chunk of time where we'll be exposed, but if we could just make it through that and then stand by the door and hoot and holler or whatever it is that can get some attention.
Hoot and holler. Okay, sorry.
I can be the bait. That's fine. But if you stand behind the door, I'll alert in, you close it, and then trap it while it's focused on me. Sound like a good plan?
Piper, that sounds like a plan where you're about to kill my girlfriend. I don't like that. Roslyn, however, is not as plot savvy as I am and is going to go along with it.
Sounds like a plan?
Sounds like a plan.
Alrighty. So, open the hatch to the right, about 15 meters. Open the door, get inside, alert. Sound good?
Okay.
Here we go. She swings open the panel And stepping into the hallway, you are back in one of those glass tunnels, although one half of it is metal, and you realize this panel is part of the metal wall, like it would be completely hidden from the other side.
Yeah.
And you are taking off down the hallway to the right. Behind you, you can hear that screeching noise of the amethyst on glass as one of them slides around the corner, and there's a horde of them behind them as they start to encroach towards you. Adelia gets to the corridor ahead of you, types in a few buttons, swings open. You are bathed in electric blue glow from this core, this massive structure that is glowing. And you recognize that light from when you were in those hidden chambers of the automatons that first time you were there. You know, it's what was powering all the like conveyor belts and all the construction stuff for pulling minerals out of the canyon wall. You know, this is the heart of Iron Canyon. The room itself is dome-shaped with metal paneling, these like reinforced panels meant to contain any energy, any radiation, essentially, that's coming off of this solid core in the middle that's glowing. Adelia runs toward the middle of the room and just goes, "Come here, I'm over here. Don't you want to absorb me into your hive mind? Come along." You slip behind the door. It is getting closer and closer. One of them gets through the door.
And Rosalind slams it shut.
Adelia gives you a thumbs up, and then you see her eyes go wide as she realizes there was still this part of the plan.
Yes!
As this crystal construct barrels towards Adelia.
And from the aloe in Rosalind's hands, leaves suddenly fly forward as they grow, getting thicker and longer, and that sounds really bad, and I'm sorry. And these long, spiky, succulent leaves wrap themselves around the amethyst construction as Rosalind uses plant growth.
Absolutely, yeah, you lift it up into the air and you see it struggle against the vines, but you are singularly focused in this moment with your girlfriend at risk. And yeah, you watch as those leaves crunch into it just ever so slightly as it squirms in your grasp. And the construct is just lifted up in the air. On the other side of the door, you can hear hammering and banging as the rest of that hive mind are trying to get inside. But looking at the one you've captured, you see it's flailing. And I think that without even an insight roll, you know that just by being in the shielded dome, it is being in its hive mind, its connection, that frequency is being interfered with. Okay. And it is struggling. Without wasting any time, Adelia starts to unpack devices from those bags she grabbed, and she's scanning the airwaves. You see lights flashing on these devices and little, dials twisting back and forth. She goes, "Okay, all right." She pulls a pencil from behind her ear and starts jotting down in a notebook. She goes, "All right, give these just a moment, and I should be able to isolate the exact frequency that this thing is sending out to try and connect again."
Okay.
All right. After a few more minutes, and there's still that banging outside, but luckily this is an incredibly reinforced room. She goes, "All right, I think I have it. I think I have it. I think I have everything I need here to synthesize some devices that would act as jammers that would disrupt the frequency resonating through the crystals and at the very least disorient them to give us a fighting chance against them."
Okay, let's do it.
Yes, absolutely. She gets to work building these devices. Will you roll an insight check for me real quick?
Oh, God. Okay. Hold on.
It's Dungeons and Dragons. You got to roll it sometime.
I know. Insight, you said?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. That is a 17 plus 8.
Oh, absolutely. With a 25, there's something clearly bothering Adelia as she gets to work.
Hey, something is bothering you. I'm not even going to ask. Something is bothering you.
We had a very good first part of the plan.
Okay.
And now we have a device that helps us fight them, which is enormous.
Okay.
I don't know how we're going to get out of the core, though.
Oh.
We didn't really plan past here.
I know what we can do.
Oh?
We will have to take a chance.
I mean, what are the odds? Should we... do you have a hypothesis? Should we...
Okay, question. How thick are the walls?
Oh, here. These walls, well, let's see. They're a special metal alloy. So they're hyper durable despite being
okay, thicker but than just, most walls. I just need to know how thick they are.
Oh, they're... let me see. They vary a little bit. At their thickest point, they're about 6 feet thick. At their thinnest, they're about 3 feet thick.
Okay. 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 We might be able to do this. Okay.
Okay. What you have a plan?
I have a plan, and I have a backup plan, believe it or not.
Oh my goodness, a redundancy. Excellent.
Do we need to get out of the core before you start doing this, or...
Oh, absolutely. No. I can set up one that will cover us now, and I've built a series of them for later use if needed.
Okay.
So this one will cover our area, so if any of them come within, well, roughly 30 feet of us, they'll be disrupted.
Okay.
There's still a threat, though.
No, I mean, I know, but it's better than nothing.
You see her give a device. It looks like almost like a TV remote with an antenna on it that is spinning. And it's glowing brilliantly with runes along it. And she holds it up and just goes, this should do the trick as long as this is on our person.
Okay.
So let me just, she tightens the screw and just goes, I'm ready when you are, Roslyn. I'm
okay.
Let's do this.
And Roslyn pulls out Wiley's paintbrush and paints a circle on the wall opposite from where they let in the amethyst construction. And I'm going to roll a d8 and see how many feet it goes through. Please. No! That is a 1. Okay. Plan number 2. How heavy is Adelia?
Adelia is probably roughly 5'4", 5'5". And I think you know that she has seemed healthier, honestly, since you have started dating. But prior to when you first met her, she was very, very thin and basically malnourished because she was not good at feeding herself.
Okay. All right.
So she's very light.
Great. I am so sorry. I do not want to make you uncomfortable with physical contact, but this is our last option. And Roslyn scoops Adelia up, and because she's carrying her, she can take her into the astral plane.
Like that, you are in the astral plane. The astral plane is very, very similar to the mortal plane. It's as if everything was blue shifted and there's sparks of white light. Everything is translucent, see-through. But there's still like the hard lines of edges of walls and floors. You can see all around you. You know, it very much looks like a starry night sky, if slightly more like indigo blue. Mm. At least that's what it normally looks like.
Oh, God.
There are still the stars.
Mm-hmm.
But that blue is replaced entirely with shifting shades of purple. The amethyst amalgamation has spread so far, and it is across planes at this point. But it's those creatures... You can see them like you could see, you know, mortal beings in the mortal plane, in the astral plane. They don't seem to notice you in this other plane. It still works.
Okay.
And where do you take Adelia? I will say, I believe that when you do this, you can reappear within 10 feet of your starting location. So I will add, I think looking through where you try to paint the, you know, hole through the wall, looking through it, after about 3 feet, there's another one of those hidden tunnels. It doesn't go into the core, but it goes past it.
Okay.
So you could get back into one of those.
Okay. So Roslyn goes, all right, trust me.
I always do.
And takes a step and goes into this tunnel.
Absolutely. You pop back out of the ethereal plane. Sorry. You pop back out of the astral plane and look around. You're in one of those dark tunnels with the blue emergency lights. And for a second, it's silent. And then you hear a scuffling noise.
Oh, God.
But it doesn't sound like the crystal on glass or metal that you heard before.
Yeah.
It's different. It's organic. You know, it's less inhuman.
Okay.
And in the light of those blue lights, you see someone round the corner. And Adela just goes, oh, my God. Jax, the kobold assistant and now co-head of the Artificer's Guild, the second in command to Adelia of the Artificer's Guild, okay. Comes around the corner and his eyes go wide and he begins running because at his height, he doesn't even have to really crawl. It seems like he was mostly doing that out of a panic towards y'all. And he wraps you both up in a hug before stepping back and just going, apologies. I'm so sorry. I didn't.
It's great to see you, Jax.
I should have known you would be in the tunnels. I should have. Miss Fairchild, it's a pleasure to see you.
Roslyn is fine.
Excellent, Roslyn. It's so lovely to see you and so horrible to see you during these times.
I agree.
But so good to see you both alive. I mean, oh my God. I should have known you would make it to the tunnels. We're like some of the only people who know about it. I think that Adelia fills him in on the transmitters, the blockers that y'all have built.
Yeah, I would like to point out that despite not being a strong person, this entire time, Roslyn has not put Adelia down yet. So she's still like...
Oh, absolutely. You know, yeah, Adelia's in your arms.
Roslyn's just kind of enjoying it while it lasts. It feels like a very Talon thing to do, but Roslyn is enjoying it while it lasts.
Roslyn's taken a page out of Talon's book.
Yeah.
Absolutely. And after explaining and kind of reconnecting with Jax, Adelia just goes, alrighty. I still have a little emergency escape protocol. And she pats that like camping backpack she had grabbed earlier. Mm-hmm. And she goes, if we can get out, we can really get away. We just need open air somewhere. So I suggest we go up.
Okay.
Now, I do have some bad news for you, Rosalind, as much as I love being in your arms. There were chutes, and unfortunately, there are also ladders. So we are going to have to do a little bit of climbing, unfortunately. Okay. We didn't have elevators installed in our secret tunnel system. I know, it was a lack of foresight on mine, but you know, you're really not supposed to... I know we did, but you're really not supposed to use those in an emergency.
Okay, I know.
You know, it's just like a safety thing. You never know what can happen. And anyway, the apocalypse is happening. Safety is honestly less on my mind than I think it probably normally would be.
Okay.
Which is honestly not very much. If I'm being fully transparent, that is kind of secondary oftentimes. Right. Yeah. She kind of steps down from your arms, hugs you as she does, and then leads you both up ladders and up ladders and up ladders and up ladders. And it takes for fucking ever as you apparently are moving all the way up from the core of Iron Canyon to that weird train station with the original elevators you first went into.
Oh, my God. Okay.
Literally all the way out of Iron Canyon. But thankfully, the secrecy of these tunnels holds. And with a grunt, Adelia lifts up and with Jax's help managed to shift a tile from the top of this ladder. And you emerge behind the ticket counter of the train station in Iron Canyon.
Huh.
You can see that all three elevators in this room, those metal cylinders, are descended. They are not currently there. But you do see all three of them have a glowing up arrow. And Adelia looks and just goes, all right, I don't know if they've figured out how to use the elevators or if this is people trying to escape, but either way, we should go. Yes? Can we?
Yeah, should I make it harder for them, though, to get out?
Absolutely. And Jax goes, what? No, what if that's people trying to get out? Just, Adil, you have a way to get away? Yes, I do. All right, let's just go. Yeah? If they can get out, they can get out, but we need to keep moving.
Okay. All right, Jax.
Jax turns and, like, opens a window. Adelia gives you a little side look and just kind of goes, are you gonna like, do you want to do something?
And Roslyn does a quick moonbeam onto the elevator shafts.
Absolutely. Jax is like halfway out the window when your moonbeam strikes down and like kind of shakes the floor a little bit as it that ghostly white fire emerging. And Adelia just goes,
Oh no, they overloaded the electrical circuits. Let's go.
Oh no, bummer, bye.
Y'all scramble out the window and you don't see anything along the desert wasteland except for in the distance, a beam of purple light shooting up into that shattered sky that is still raining chunks of amethyst down onto the earth. Everything around you in the desert is cast in an eerie purple glow. And Adelia looks at the beam and just goes, well, if it's a hive mind, it has to have a center. And dollars to daisies, I think that may be it.
Probably. I know.
Well, I did say survival was a little bit second on my list. With these jammers, Rosalind, would you care to disrupt the apocalypse with me?
I wouldn't do it with anyone else.
She reaches into that bag and pulls out these strange contraptions. They're rounded triangles with thin metal wisps coming out of them. She puts one on your back and the wires suddenly connect into straps, and what appears to be a rudimentary engine comes out of the back of it. She puts one on Jackson and on herself and just goes, right, so these have not been tested, if I'm being fully honest with you all.
Yes.
And I'm still working on a name. I'm thinking about maybe like train packs or fast jumps or something, but they're packs that you can wear on your back and we will soar through the air like the birds above.
What about bird launchers?
I like bird launchers. are we settled on bird launcher? That we have to. Bird launchers it is.
No. I'll have to think on it while we're flying, but it needs some workshopping.
We'll have some time, but until then,
yeah.
I guess we're off to Bastion.
She pushes a button on the back of all three of your packs, 1, 2, 3. Your bodies shake and vibrate as it powers up. You can see on the others runes glowing along the side of those engines. And you take off into the air. Bastion and the Amethyst Amalgamation ahead of you.